You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Earlier this month, the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh territory was reignited following an outbreak of violence on the front line. The conflict has killed at least 200 people, including civilians. Georgia Gogarty spoke to Lawrence Brewers, an associate fellow at the Russia-Eurasia programme at Chatham House, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, to find out more about the current situation and what has caused the violence to occur. Why is it so disputed between Armenia and Azerbaijan?
Well, this is a conflict that dates back nearly 100 years to 1918, when the first Armenian and Azerbaijani republics emerged from the collapsing Russian Empire. Both of these young states saw this territory as belonging to them, and they fought over it at that time. It's quite a small territory. It's 4,400 square kilometers. It has a local Armenian majority, but the Azerbaijanis see it very much as always having formed part of an Azerbaijani Muslim space. So the Soviet Union tried to resolve the conflict by giving it to Azerbaijan within a framework of autonomy for the local Armenians, and that kept things under control for a few decades. But the conflict started up again even more intensively under Mikhail Gorbachev's perestroika policy. And again, when Armenia and Azerbaijan became independent in 1991, they spent 3 years fighting a really very bitter war that cost some 30,000 lives. And since that time, the two young republics have been building up their identities around ownership of the territory, and it's really very difficult for either one of them to back down.
What is the current situation at the moment, and why was there a sudden outbreak of violence?
Well, the Karabakh War came to an end in 1994, so that was after a three-year kind of intensive interstate war, but it was never finished with a peace treaty, so there's only a ceasefire agreement. So for the last 22 years, the sides have been negotiating in a peace process that's known as the Minsk Group. That's an 11-nation body. It's led by France, Russia, and the United States. And they have discussed intensively a number of different peace proposals. There have actually been five different peace proposals discussed between 1997 and 2007. But that hasn't delivered any tangible results. And since the mid-2000s, Azerbaijan has become quite an oil-rich republic. It's been exporting Caspian oil and gas, and it's been using its oil windfalls to rearm itself. So you've really got a very combustible situation on the ground. You've got a 160-mile-long front line with 40,000 soldiers, all told, with increasingly heavy and sophisticated weaponry. And over the last few years, actually, ceasefire violations have been really getting a lot worse and a lot more substantial in terms of their scale. So it has been an increasingly unstable situation, and there's nothing surprising about the recent escalation. We were just waiting for something like that to happen. It's, I think, a sign of Azerbaijan's exasperation with a dysfunctional peace process. And it's possible that Ilham Aliyev, the president of Azerbaijan, was also calculating that with the prolonged slump in the oil prices, Azerbaijan might be entering a more difficult economic period, and now is a good time to send a message to the world that this isn't and shouldn't be a so-called frozen conflict, and to try to really gain some leverage to reinvigorate the negotiation process on terms that are advantageous to Azerbaijan.
To what extent is the peace treaty holding at the moment?
Well, there isn't really there is no peace treaty. There is only a ceasefire agreement that was agreed in May 1994. So there's really very little in terms of a peace infrastructure to support the situation. It's an unusual ceasefire agreement in the sense that it's self-regulating. You don't have any peacekeepers on the ground. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the OSCE, has a very limited mandate to monitor the ceasefire, but it only has six unarmed monitors to implement that, and they have to announce their inspections of the front line in advance. And there's really a massive discrepancy between that very limited mandate and the scale of the violence that we're seeing. I mean, just in the last 3 weeks, at least 200 people have been killed, including civilians. So that's really one of the things that needs to change, I think, is a revision of that ceasefire monitoring mandate.
In your opinion, what needs to be done specifically to ensure peace and to ensure that there isn't another outbreak of violence? Where do you see the future of these two countries?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think there's any reason to be optimistic. I think one of the things that has to change is that, as I mentioned, the ceasefire mandate needs to be revised and it needs to be strengthened. It's really not satisfactory to have this level of violence and with so little capacity to investigate and to bring parties to account for violations of the ceasefire. But simply strengthening the ceasefire regime isn't going to address particularly the concerns of Azerbaijan, which sees this front line as a line of occupation of its de jure territory. So one really needs to see a reinvigorated peace process. Over the last few years, the peace process has more or less ground to a halt with very occasional meetings just of the two presidents of the two countries and their foreign ministers. And really a lot more international attention and focus on the conflict is needed. There has been an intensive round of shuttle diplomacy since the outbreak of violence in the first week of this month. But really, I'm quite concerned that the international community is just defaulting back to its business as usual attitude. What we really need is a much more energized peace process with a whole range of different interlocutors, working groups, working out the specific issues that the parties disagree on, rather than this very, very narrow, very top-down format that we've seen over recent years. And finally, I really want to mention that at least a dozen civilians have died in the recent violence, and it's very important that these deaths in particular are properly investigated. There have been allegations of atrocities in some cases, of Armenian villagers being reportedly killed, of Azerbaijani villagers also being shelled along this line of contact, along the front line. And this really reminds everyone of the terrible massacres that happened in the earlier war between 1988 and 1994. There were a number of very gruesome massacres on both sides, and those have never really been dealt with. And for as long as that doesn't happen, I think the sides are living with this fear of more massacres and ethnic cleansing, and that's a really important thing to deal with in order for the two countries to move on and to think constructively about a negotiated outcome.
That was Georgia Gogarty speaking to Lawrence Burrs, an associate fellow at Chatham House.